Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be here, a joy of Troy, and there's certainly joy in Troy. And we feel welcome since we were trying to park, we felt the welcome. And we just want to say thank you for the invitation. I'd just like to introduce our 9 students who were brave enough to get up before 6 so that we can leave at 6 to get here. Will our students please stand? All the young ladies, I think the guys were not up to it. All right, we thank you. And God has been wonderful to us. I also would like to introduce my wife, Angela. Angela, could you stand so that they can see you and recognize you? Okay. All right. And as I said, we're delighted to visit your church. One of the things that I spoke with Elder Langley about was, if it's snowing, you better have someone else. And last week it snowed, and it snowed. And then this Sabbath you hear that it's 55. I don't know what it is here, but where we are, it's 55 degrees. And that's good weather for me to drive in. And I say, praise the Lord. You know, these young ladies, they didn't know my topic. They didn't know what I was going to be speaking on. But the Holy Spirit has been working. And the songs that they sang are so appropriate. His eyes is on the sparrow. Thank you, Naomi. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We can face 2013 because he lives. I just want you to join with me as we sing this song, God is so good. God is so good to me. I hope you know it. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask that you will tabernacle with us, give us receptive ears and our minds so that we can understand your words and that we can be obedient to your truth. We thank you for the leadership of this church and the membership, Lord. We ask that you will allow this church to be a beacon of light in this community, and that your words may go forth and prepare hearts for your soon coming. Bless us today, and may the words that I speak be yours, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For a few moments, I want to share with you on the topic, how to increase your faith in 2013. How to increase your faith in 2013. We live in a society that is almost devoid of faith. Many people do not know about God or believe that he exists. We discussed that in our Sabbath school this morning. What about you? Do you believe in God? Do you really believe that God actually created this world in 6 days? Do you believe that God will take care of your needs? Or that Jesus is coming back? Do you really believe that? Our scripture reading tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. But then we ask, what is faith? And if you go further up in the chapter, Hebrews 11 verse 1, it tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Having faith will help you make sense out of the troubling and confusing world in which we live in.
Many ask, where was God during the Sandy Hook school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut? Or during the Taft High School shooting yesterday, where was God? I submit to you that faith will give you the confidence you need to move forward amidst this madness that is going on in our society. Faith will give you the confidence you need to move forward with your life despite trials and setbacks. You may say, I have faith. But Jesus declared that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can remove mountains. I haven't been hearing anything on the news about any mountains being moved in Troy. So we must not have that mustard seed faith. Can you imagine what our faith is like? And so how do we get that faith? By the way, mustard seed is the smallest seed, I'm told. Growing in faith requires believing in God and maintaining a close relationship with Him. You can have that relationship with God through daily prayer, Bible study, and applying what God says in Scripture in your personal life. I must confess, my sermon was supposed to be about education, but somehow during this week, I decided I'll let the Holy Spirit lead. And I didn't want to speak about education. And so I decided to talk about faith. See, as you may be aware, Union Springs Academy has had its struggles. When it was known that I would be the principal, by the way, I just became principal this school year, 2012-2013. I was principal before at Waldwick Seventh-day Adventist School in New Jersey. But when it was disclosed that I would be principal, a prominent individual who was familiar with the school said to me, I don't know if I should say congratulations or I should give you my condolences. That's the state at which our school was in. It was a lack of faith to think that God cannot make changes. I'm happy to tell you that God has been leading tremendously at Union Springs Academy. And I'm here today, this second Sabbath of the new year, to let you know that God is willing to lead your life if you let Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I submit to you today to take an inventory of things that cause you not to please God. What exactly it is that cause you not to please God? Joy of Troy, as you begin 2013, the writer of Hebrews says, we must have faith to please God. During 2012, you may have experienced the worst things in your life. But today I am here to tell you that God wants you to put your trust in Him. You see, I serve a God who likes difficult situations. He waits until Nebuchadnezzar heated the fire 7 times before He reveals Himself. I said, I serve a God who thrives in difficult situations. He waits until Daniel was thrown into the lion's den before deliverance came. Are you going through some difficult situations in your life right now? Just have faith, my brothers and sisters. Many people will tell you, it can't be done. Let them know, they don't know the God that you serve. Amen. For the past 2 years, I've been at USA, Union Springs Academy. And I don't believe I have ever got paid on time. Sometimes 3 or 4 pay period pass and we did not receive a salary. And so that individual who said to me, I don't know if I should say congratulations or my condolences, knew what it meant to be in charge of that school. But my God works through the impossibilities, and I say praise God. Amen. Since July 1st, we have been paid regularly and on time. What do you say? Amen. Amen. Don't tell me God doesn't supply our needs. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to exceeding abundant, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, God can do more than you can think. Ellen White says, higher than the highest human thoughts can reach is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, God-likeness is the goal to be reached. So whatever it is that you can conceive, that you want to be, that you want to accomplish this year, God has higher plans for you. See, we began our school year with a consecration and a dedication service. I couldn't start the school year without that. It was the first time I believe it was being done. We had to stop registration halfway and said, let's have a consecration service. Let's pray for our students. Let's pray for the staff. Let's rededicate ourselves. And after the service, we were presented with a check of $67,250 to do upgrade on the school. Don't tell me that God is not able. In December, by the way, we had a matching. These same gentlemen who gave us this money said to us that if you can raise $50,000 between now and June 30th of this year, we will match it. In December, over the Christmas, after the kids left, we got a check in the mail, $25,000. We have exceeded that $50,000. Don't tell me there is not a God. See, James 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Do you want to have your children and grandchildren at USA but can't afford it? God will provide. Just take the first step. Fill out an application. You don't know where the funds are coming from. Fill out an application. Get your children in our Adventist education system. See, when things are not working out for you, what do you do? Do you get depressed? What do you do? 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says that David encouraged himself in his Lord. and the Lord is God.
Amen.
When things aren't working out, David encouraged himself. Encourage yourself. Take me back to the place where I first believe. Encourage yourself. Remember those times you've spent in church when God was there for you. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't get depressed. See, what are your resolutions for this new year? Have they already been broken? Have your dreams been shattered since 2012? Do you think you're going through the worst thing anyone on this face of the earth is experiencing? I submit to you that better days are coming. Just have faith in God. I'm not talking about better days because we have a president here or because you've gotten a new job. Better days are coming because Jesus is coming back. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. And I'll read to you a story. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll start from verse 14 onward. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Says, and I'll read to verse 21. Now Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, I'm reading from the New International Version. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Armenians at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Elisha died and was buried. Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. That's not a familiar story that you hear every day. And so, with that story, I have five suggestions on how to increase your faith and achieve success in 2013. The first one is that you have to accept God's plan for your life. Accept God's plan for your life. Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. See, God wants you to step out by faith and follow his direction. Follow the direction he has for your life. The king of Israel had to follow the direction Elisha gave him. Shoot. Open the east window. You have to follow God's direction for your life. You ought to be a model of how God's plan for people should be. This should be a model church. Well, it is actually. I've experienced a love. I've been prayed for several times, and I thank God for those prayers. Young people, God wants you to be his example. He wants to say, "Have you seen my son with your name there?" As he said of Job. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Verse 13. "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Joy of Troy, God has a plan for your life that will blow your mind. All you have to do is accept his plan. Secondly, obey immediately. Obey immediately. Delayed obedience, I'm told, is disobedience. And sometimes our young people don't understand that. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God tells you to do something, do it immediately. Don't argue. It may not make any sense to you, but God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. He said, "Return a faithful tithe and offering." Don't rationalize. "I have this bill to pay. My car broke down." Don't rationalize. He said it. Just do it. He said in Isaiah 54 verse 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord." Not some. Not the ones who are slow must be sent to Adventist institutions. "All thy children must be taught of the Lord." Yet, many of us as Seventh-day Adventists question him. We only send those children who are having problems in public school. We send them to our Adventist schools. And we expect them to become angels when they get there. You know, we're not miracle workers in our Adventist institutions. Send all your children. Bring them up. Thirdly, do not hinder the power of God. God said, Elisha said, "Strike the ground." He did it only three times. Unbelief is paralyzing, and it is usually the reason we see very little of the working of God in our midst, in the ways we claim and we long to see. When we show a lack of faith, as Jehoash did, we miss out many times on what God desires to do in us and through us. Mark chapter 6 verse 6 tells us that Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. He grew up with them, but they could not see God living with them for 33 years. He He was amazed at their lack of faith. Do not hinder the power of God. Many are living defeated lives. They're living lives without any joy, without any peace, without any meaning. Many are living lives without any purpose because we are not doing things God's way. Sad to say, there are some marriages that wants to do, there are some marriages and homes that are broken and torn apart because there's no one in these homes and marriages that wants to do things God's way. There are some who have lost their jobs or in the hospital simply because they did not want to do things God's way. There are some churches that are spiritually dead because they refuse to do things God's way. The reason why our society is in the shape that it is now in is because we refuse to do things God's way. We hinder the power of God. If you want to increase your faith in 2013, I submit to you to refuse to do half-hearted work. Refuse to do half-hearted work. You know, when I came in, the first thing I saw was your ceiling once I stepped up here, actually. And I didn't know it was just done. But I was impressed by it. And these guys didn't do half-hearted work. Many of us are like King Joash in this instance, Jehoash. We started going to church and then we stopped. We used to come to Sabbath school early and on time. Guess it's the same thing, right? We used to study our Sabbath school lesson, but we stopped. We used to be at Wednesday evening prayer meeting, but we stopped. We used to do evangelism around the blocks of Troy. What happened? We stopped. We used to pray every day, sometimes three times like Daniel, but we stopped. We used to have a choir. Or we used to sing in a choir, but we stopped. We used to be the usher. What happened? We stopped. Half-hearted work, we stopped. Like Joash, king of Israel, we stopped. And the man of God was angry at him. He said, you should have done five or six. You know, empty the quiver. But he stopped. It's useless. Can you imagine thinking of Naaman? Why am I dipping in this river? We stopped. But it's not the river. It's the command of God. We stopped. Matthew 5:41 says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Don't do half-hearted work. Refuse to do half-hearted work. When you're asked to do the Sabbath school lesson, you know, do it. And I enjoyed your Sabbath school this morning. You know, you want to participate as a visitor. I just didn't want to talk too much this morning. But the idea is that we should enjoy whatever it is that we're doing. Amen. If you're asked to clean the sanctuary, do it with all your might, as unto the Lord. And I hope those ladies did a good job with the food this afternoon. I did that for my young people. Some of them left their breakfast, so. But don't refuse to do half-hearted work. That's how you're going to increase your faith and have success this year. And the final one, number 5, leave a legacy. Leave a legacy. See, I've heard this phrase, success without a successor is failure. Success without a successor is failure. Leave a legacy. Joy of Troy, train those young people to be leaders. Send them to a Christian academy and colleges and our universities so that they can fulfill the duties of this church. I was told the other day that I think this year about 10% of our leadership in our Adventist workforce will be retiring. You know, who are going to be filling these positions? We need young people. Leave a legacy. We will not be here forever. Don't think you'll be here forever. Train those young people. Send them to our Adventist institutions so that they can be trained by Adventist teachers, by dedicated Adventist individuals. You see, Elijah left Elisha as a successor. And I believe you know that story where Elijah was trying to deter him to follow him. And he said, I will not leave you until I see you translated. And so, if you recall, Elijah asked Elisha, what can I do for you? And he said, give me a double portion. Give me a double portion of your spirit. Some scholars believe that at the time of Elisha's death, Elijah did 7 miracles in his lifetime. 7 major miracles. And at the time of Elisha's death, there were only 13 miracles that Elisha had done. And so, verse 21 of 2 Kings 13 tells us about that fourth one, the double one. 2 times 7 is 14. While they were burying this young man, the raiders came and they threw his body in Elisha's tomb. That was the 14th miracle. He came alive. See, brothers and sisters, there will be some storms that you may face in 2013. But God is able to handle these storms. If you just do things God's way, no matter what you face in life, God will see you through. Walt Disney, he was fired by a newspaper editor for lack of ideas. In fact, Walt also went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. Michael Jordan, you know him, right? He did not make his high school basketball team his sophomore year. Beethoven, his teacher called him an hopeless composer. Beethoven. Winston Churchill. He failed the sixth grade. He did not become prime minister until he was 62 years old. So, my elders here, it's not over. Henry Ford failed and went broke 5 times before he finally succeeded. You too may have failed in many areas of your life. But today God is saying, trust me. Trust me. These past years you have been constantly chasing things, looking for success in relationships, in money, having a sense of purpose and a sense of pride. We spend our time trying to make it on our own. That is why we sometimes get in the wrong relationships. We keep moving from one New Year's resolution to the next, moving from one diet plan to the next. We're constantly shifting from place to place, looking for something because we're not satisfied. God allowed you to experience loneliness. He allowed you to get tired. I told you that I serve a God who thrives in difficult situations. He allowed you to get hungry and thirsty so that you could chase after him, so that you could feast at the table of living bread and drink of the fountain that will never run dry. He wants to renew your strength. So this afternoon you may be out of faith. Some of you may be out of love. You may be out of money. You may be out of health. Angela just asked for prayer for Dr. Broomfield, Diana. It was only a couple of years ago I asked her to be my commencement speaker at the graduation. Now she's almost on her deathbed. She had accomplished so many things. She had a fertility clinic in Maryland. She needs our prayers. You know, we don't know where this 2013 will take us. When you run out of faith, it forces you to dig deep. Previously, you relied on your natural ability. You relied on your job. Everything seems like it's the best it could ever be. But somewhere in the midst of life, you run out of something. Out of love, out of faith, out of trust, out of money, out of health. But then there comes a time when you have to fall on your knees. And Christ says, I will increase your strength, your vitality. Your power is not enough to get to the end. All the Bible you read, all the Sabbath school classes you shared in is not enough to get you to the end of the race. Your strength has to run out, so that he can give you his strength. I hope you run out of your pride. I hope you run out of your self-reliance. I hope you run out of your self-confidence. I hope you run out of your own power. This year you need to say, I'm getting ready to experience the best in God that I've ever seen in my life. I'm getting ready to experience the glory of God. It takes faith to believe that. You may have struggled with your marriage, with your finances, with your children. You may have struggled, but God is saying, trust me, my child. Yes, your life may have started in sin, but it can end in glory. Look at David. After committing adultery and murder, he's called a man after God's own heart. There's a song that I've been singing all week because I was getting prepared for this, and I asked my wife to come up and sing, but she won't. I know I'll get it later, but it goes like this. I don't feel no way tired. I've come too far from where I've started. Nobody told me the road would be easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Some of you didn't know you ran out of faith until today. You are saying, God, I want to increase my faith. I need you to refill some things. Some of you are running on fumes with your children. You've been running on fumes with your marriages, with your health, just hoping that the fumes don't run out. I don't know, we gentlemen love to see how far we can go on an empty with our car. Not you. As you listen to this sermon, you want to say, Lord, I want to be filled with the love of Jesus Christ. I want to be filled with the power of Jesus to overcome the wrong relationships. To be filled with the power to serve you and overcome self. I want to give you my life. I want to surrender to you. We have a lot to place. We have so many places in which God can transform us. And so this afternoon, think about your marriage. Think about your children. Nobody told you it's going to be easy. Just declare, I don't believe he brought my marriage this far. I don't believe he brought my children this far. I don't believe. I just don't believe he brought my health. Whatever it is that you think about something that needs transformation. I don't believe. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Heaven is before you. The best is yet to come. Don't let secret sins take heaven away from you. I don't believe discouragement. I don't believe dishonesty should keep you out of his kingdom. Don't let promiscuity or addiction or depression keep you from glory. I just can't give up now. God has been faithful. Just hold on. Believe he specializes in difficult situations. You may be discouraged because your children won't come back home. You probably have been living like strangers under the same roof. Diseases seem to get the best of you. You don't have money to pay your bill, but I serve a God who is able. I serve a God who can go after wayward children. I serve a God who can bind broken marriages, who provide my every need. I'm here today to testify to you that I serve a God, and I'm introducing him afresh to you. I serve a God who heals every single disease. Make this your declaration of faith today. I don't feel no ways tired. Faith won't let me believe it. The devil is a liar. I can't, I won't, I will never believe it. God has brought us this far to leave us. I can't believe that. So finally, brethren, Romans 10, verse 17 declares, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I pray that God will increase our faith. Remember, I don't believe he brought us this far to leave us. Amen. May the Lord bless you.